Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome to another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, we're going to talk some NBA free agency with John Hamm of Bleacher Report and the franchise in Oklahoma City. He's also part of the OKC Dream Team podcast with Andrew Schlecht and Royce Young. If you like the NBA, if you like the Thunder, I highly recommend it. It's part of the Patreon network of podcasts. It's very good. We're going to also talk some 4th of July cooking, grilling, smoking, that kind of thing with Greg Jones of LB's Meat Market. So we'll get to all of that in a minute. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal, home of the $2, $3, and $4 square meals. Right now, you can also get the party pack of 24 crystals if maybe you just don't want to fool with lighting up the grill, lighting up the smoker on Thanksgiving, that day too, but certainly on the 4th of July, get that 24-pack and wash it down with one of the new Lemon Head slushies spiked with the original Lemon Head lemon candies. If you're a lemon freak, kind of like I am, looks fantastic. You can also get the $3.99 pimento cheese crystal meal there at Crystal. You get three pimento cheese crystals, fries, and a drink for $3.99. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's nice and easy. You get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can shop it around, or you can take my word for it and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Beer Garden. You'll save $500 on top of the already great deal at Clark Ford in Amory. Okay, so we're going to get to John Hamm in a minute. But I got to get something off my chest from a sports standpoint. And I'm going to be careful doing this. I know there's a lot of – no, I'm not. There's a lot of Cardinal fans in this audience, in this market, and I get it. It's a storied franchise. It's a great franchise. Outside of the Yankees and the Red Sox and to some extent the Dodgers, it might be the most storied franchise in baseball. But what John Mozeliak did to Dexter Fowler today – as I taped this on a Monday, is wrong. Dexter Fowler went on the paternity list today. He's going to miss the Cardinals series with the Diamondbacks. Dexter Fowler's having a bad season, no question. He's hitting 171. His stat line is 171, slash line I should say, 171, 276, 278. His OPS, in other words, it's about 550. He has a negative 1.1 WAR, wins against replacement. The walk-off home run that he hit against the Cubs is probably his only highlight of the season so far. He's had a miserable campaign. The Cardinals signed Dexter Fowler to a 5-year deal, 80-some-odd million dollars. There were a lot of people around baseball that said, wow, really? When he did it. He just won a World Series with the Cubs. Hit a game 7 home run to help beat the Indians in the 2016 World Series. A beloved teammate in Colorado, in Houston, in Chicago. Absolutely a legend in Chicago. No question about it. Cardinals signed him. They'd been shunned in several free agencies. They'd lost the division to the Cubs in 2016. They lost the division to the Cubs last year. They're in third place as I record this behind Milwaukee and the Cubs, two teams that are separated by half a game at the top of the National League Central. But John Mozeliak, the general manager of the Cubs, said today on a radio interview in St. Louis, and I quote, "It's been a frustrating year for everybody involved." Here's a guy who wants to go out and play well. I think he would tell you it's hard to do that when you're not playing on a consistent basis. So far, so good. Then Mosalak says, "But I've also had a lot of people come up to me and question his effort and his energy level. You know, those are things that I can't defend. What I can defend is trying to create opportunities for him, but not if it's at the expense of someone who's out there hustling and playing hard. And really, I think everyone just needs to take a hard look in the mirror and decide what they want that next chapter to look like. And in Dexter's case, maybe taking a brief time out, trying to reassess himself, and then give himself a chance for a strong second half is probably what's best for everybody. I'm hopeful to touch base with him in the near future and decide what makes the most sense. But clearly, he's not playing at the level we had hoped." That is reprehensible. To make those comments in public, whether you've said this to the player in private or not, to throw him under the bus in a market that is already vitriolic against him because of the struggles that he had had, struggles which were predictable, mind you, because of the contract that he has, a contract that you gave him, mind you, is reprehensible. It is completely uncalled for. You can think all of those things, and you can say those things in private. In public, you defend your player. To question his effort, when there's really no indication that there hasn't been effort, to make him the scapegoat for what is now a 3-year struggle, when he's only been there for 1.5 of those years, is detestable. And remember I told you this. When the Cardinals can't sign a quality free agent, today was part of that. The Cardinals are in a division with the Cubs, a team that have been to the National League Championship Series 3 straight years, and Milwaukee, a team that has accumulated as much, if not more, young talent than anyone in baseball not named the New York Yankees or the Houston Astros. It's going to be a fight for the Cardinals to contend in the Central year in and year out. You want to make Dexter Fowler the scapegoat? Not Mr. Ironjaw Mike Matheny? Not Tommy Pham? Matt Carpenter? Pitching breakdowns? You want to make Dexter Fowler the scapegoat? It's been bad, but his regression was predictable. There was a reason that nobody else gave him a contract like that. There was a reason that as beloved as he was in Chicago, the Cubs let him walk. I'm not going to lie, I'm biased. I love Dexter Fowler. He was fun to cheer for those years in Chicago, and those were two fun years. He was really good in 2015. And his story when he came back in 2016 and surprised the team and was the leadoff man and played as well as he did in the postseason. And that home run in Game 7 against Corey Kluber was some of the most fun I've ever had as a sports fan, period. And I have a soft spot for Dexter Fowler. He hit the walk-off home run to beat the Cubs a month or so ago, and I couldn't even get mad at him. I was happy it was him. I was happy for him. He seems to be a good guy. And he deserved better than that today. The Cardinals have issues. And Fowler's one of those issues. But their only issue is not Dexter Fowler. Their issues as an organization go much higher than that. And for John Mosalak to say that today, it was just wrong. And he'll pay for it. And so will the Cardinals. A team that, he's right, they need to look in the mirror. He and Mike Matheny might want to go find that mirror and make sure they're looking at it just as much as anyone else. All right, we'll switch gears from that to NBA. LeBron James, now a Laker, Paul George still with the Thunder, Chris Paul with the Rockets. The East is much weaker than it's ever been, and it was weak. The West is stacked. We'll talk about all of those things with John Hamm of the franchise in Oklahoma City, also with Bleacher Report. Here now, take a listen. John, welcome into the podcast. First of all, congratulations on doing incredibly good work as a person who's done journalism, and I can relate to the spot that you and Royce Young and Andrew Schlecht and Brett Dawson and others in that market were in that you're dealing with a fan base that was recently burned, that was heartbroken, that was cynical, and there was a lot of people out there saying Paul George was going to the Lakers, and that's not the information that you all had, but you knew that if you say, hey, I think he might stay, and then he doesn't, you get attacked because the messenger gets attacked, and that had to be it had to be a little bit tense.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, I will say this. I didn't expect it to be on the first. I didn't expect it to be before free agency. I had an indication that it was most likely going to happen, and there was a number of indicators. You know, if you're just watching across the league, I mean, when the Lakers suddenly reignited talks on Kawhi Leonard, it wasn't hard to piece together that they figured out Paul George isn't coming. But even then, you know, if you know it, and I've been in this position before, frankly, where the first extension Russell Westbrook signed, like someone had tipped me off about that weeks before it happened. But I just know things have a habit of changing in a moment's notice. And, you know, it's for some people, that's their business. For other people, I just kind of take information in and I just sort of process it and use it to inform. And believe me, I couched that a lot because I still felt like, man, if he gets to free agency and Paul talks to the Lakers, he might go no matter what's been decided.
The most surprising thing to me was not that he stayed, and not even that he signed the 4-year deal with the buyout after 3 years, or the opt-out after 3 years. What surprised me the most was that Paul George pushed his way out of Indiana, goes to the Thunder, always said the right things, but I always thought at the very least he's going to grant the Lakers a meeting. He didn't meet with them. That stunned me more than anything else.
That was pretty remarkable. And I do think, and I've heard this, and I've heard, I think, Adrian Wojnarowski say it, or someone, but, like, the Thunder were legitimately concerned about him going off on free agent meetings, and you rewind to a couple of years ago, there was similar concern with Kevin Durant. There was the concern that if, you know, if the horse got outside the barn, they might not get the horse back. And so they, you know, they had a plan laid out. Hey, Kevin, if you commit, we're going to go do this, you know, namely Al Horford. That's who they were after next. And tried to line that up before he got to free agency with Paul. They were somehow able to get that commitment, I think, well in advance. I mean, there's indications that it's been for months that Paul basically decided, I want to be here. And so it is, as I wrote about on Bleacher Report, it is sort of vindication on a number of levels. From Oklahoma City as a city, as a locale, to the ownership, to the management, to Russell Westbrook on down. It's phenomenal how quickly it came together, like you said.
I know that you can't speak for the citizenry of Oklahoma City. It's too big for one person to necessarily speak for it. But 2 years ago, that was a devastated city, as much as you can be devastated by something that doesn't directly impact you. When Kevin Durant left, it was emotionally devastating for a lot of people there. What has it been like in the aftermath of not only Paul George staying, but Russell Westbrook staying, and two of the NBA's, you know, top 15 players, and in Russell's case, one of its top 5 players, committing really the primes of their career to Oklahoma City?
You know, it's funny. You're right. I'm not a spokesman for Oklahoma City by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, some of the people I talked to heading into free agency were sort of like, I'm just numb to it. Like, that was their first experience with pro sports. Like, this is how it works. That a guy is going to say a lot of things, and in the end, he's going to do something differently. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, just sort of felt like, you know, the business kicked in. And so they were kind of, you know, they were trying to distance themselves from Paul George. But now that he signed, as you said, a 3-year deal with a player option, I think that's longer than really anyone really expected. I mean, people were thinking 1 or 2 years at the most. But now he's got a 3-year commitment, you know, 3 years. He could extend his contract again after 2, you know, and I think people are sort of perking up a little bit. Now, having said all that, there's still that juggernaut out on the West Coast. Houston is obviously, you know, still formidable. And then, you know, LeBron's going to be doing stuff in L.A. So there's that in, you know, in that specter. But yeah, I mean, I think people are kind of coming around to, you know, won't it be nice to have like a couple of summers without major free agent drama? that ought to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it ought to be kind of an opportunity to exhale. It's also an opportunity, mm-hmm. and we'll get to this in a minute. It's also an opportunity for that franchise as a whole to not take a step back. I don't mean it like that, but to take a step back in sense of, okay, we can breathe, and now we can evaluate things on more of a long-term process again. In many ways, they are precisely where they envisioned themselves years ago. It's just instead of Kevin Durant playing the three, it's Paul George.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, this is where management intended to be. So, you know, when you see all the stuff about the Thunder and their willingness to pay the luxury tax, et cetera, you know, this was the plan all along, dating back pretty much to when the team moved here. I mean, they had a long-term plan the two favorite words of Sam Presti's are sustained success. So rather than sort of go forward in 4 years, which might have had some, you know, phenomenal results, you know, decided to try to stretch this out as long as possible. And, you know, having a title would be wonderful around here, but, you know, it's so easy to turn into the Sacramento Kings or the Minnesota Timberwolves. It really is. So it's don't take it for granted that you have like quality basketball night in and night out, because not every market has that.
Yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies will tell you that. There was a while that they had quality basketball night in and night out, and it's been a struggle the last couple of years.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's get to the Lakers. The Lakers, a lot of sound, a lot of fury, and they ultimately do land the best player on the planet in LeBron James. He signs a 4-year deal, or agrees to sign a 4-year deal with the Lakers. They've since added JaVale McGee. Who am I forgetting?
Lance Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson. I mean,
yeah.
All right. LeBron carried a Cleveland team that at times was pretty shaky all the way to the finals. He won a championship with Kyrie, with Kevin Love. What does his arrival in Los Angeles, assuming that, let's assume for a moment that the Kawhi Leonard thing doesn't happen. I'll get to that in a second. What does what does he mean to that team on the floor?
You know, that Lakers team, I felt like probably exceeded expectations a bit last year by getting 35 wins. Like, the pressure was off. They didn't have a reason to tank because they didn't have a first-round pick they were trying to protect. And so, I mean, they've got some nice young players. I mean, Brandon Ingram, even Lonzo Ball, I think is going to be really good. There's always going to be some drama around him, but I mean, as a player, I think he's going to be really good. Josh Hart was a good draft pick for them. You know, Julius Randle, who they may keep, really came on in the second half of last season. And I know I'm missing on someone. Who am I missing? There's another young player.
Kuzma,
that's him. Yeah, you know, that was a guy that I think probably exceeded everyone's expectations last year. So, like, there's good pieces to work with. I mean, my thing with LeBron is you don't, like, you know, put the kids around LeBron. That's what we saw in Cleveland. The kids get traded for pieces that can come in and help out. And so that's what I'm looking for. It may not be Kawhi Leonard, like you said, but I kind of expect that, you know, maybe one or two of those guys hang around, but I feel like LA is going to be trading some more of those pieces. And, you know, it's LeBron is talking, I guess, apparently has talked about this, you know, understanding this is a long process. It's not going to come together immediately. That's also what he said when he went back to Cleveland. So I am really curious, because, I mean, LeBron's going to inject life back into, you know, Staples Center. But how's he really going to feel if, you know, they are clawing to make the playoffs in year one?
What do you think happens with Kawhi Leonard? I know no one knows, but he's putting out – the people that are running his public relations campaign are doing him a disservice, frankly.
Absolutely.
They want to get him out, and ultimately they want to get him to Los Angeles where everything will be fine. But this whole he might not play all year is a stunningly bad look for a player that once had a reputation of he doesn't talk, he just plays. Suddenly mm-hmm. he's got an awful reputation to overcome. What do you think happens with Kawhi?
I mean, at this point, I'd be shocked if he's still there by training camp. I mean, I honestly, you know, maybe if he's not traded in the next couple of weeks. I mean, all the indications are San Antonio has just come to the realization it's not going to work. Now, they had some leverage, I think, over the Lakers who were pressing to try to get someone before free agency started. You know, that leverage has probably subsided somewhat, but I mean, I look and, you know, Philadelphia could put together a heck of a package. Boston could put together a heck of a package. You know, there could be someone else out there kind of out of the blue, much like Oklahoma City was with Paul George, that has something that they can offer San Antonio that they really like. I keep hearing the idea that they won't trade him to the Western Conference, and I'm just not buying it. If they get the best deal from a Western Conference team, and if it's the LA Lakers, they should take it. I mean, whatever's best for their organization. But right now, I mean, just kind of from my bird's eye view, Lakers, Celtics, Sixers, you know, probably all trying to outbid each other at the moment, barring some dark horse out there.
If Kawhi goes to the Lakers, you're talking about having to get rid of at least two of the three young players that they've built around, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to...
Yeah, I mean, as it stands, so they can exceed the cap to re-sign Julius Randle. They could probably even involve him in a sign-and-trade, potentially. But yeah, I mean, most likely you're talking about Brandon Ingram. If they, you know, maybe they want Lonzo Ball, maybe he's part of a three-team trade to send him elsewhere. Yeah, I mean, it would cost him some of those young pieces, and that's why I say you got to shop a little carefully. But, you know, last year, I think the Lakers assumed Paul George was just going to come crawling to him when free agency hit, and then he wound up going somewhere else that he liked, and they didn't get Paul George. So, you know, I wonder if they're going to be a little more aggressive this time and, you know, pay a price to go ahead and get Kawhi. And, you know, just and under the idea that if you get these two guys, you're going to be able to get some good talent down the road that wants to come team up with them.
All right, let's talk about Houston a little bit, a team that may have been one injury away to Chris Paul from knocking the Warriors off. They re-signed Paul. He said, hey, I have unfinished business, which, frankly, as a basketball fan, I respect. Whether that was the reason or not, I respect him returning and saying, I want to give it another shot. Because they were a fun team to watch during the season. They did not keep Trevor Ariza. They let him go to Phoenix, which frankly surprised me. Was that just a tax thing?
I don't think it was a tax thing. I don't know if it was just the one bulk payment. And Ariza said, I'd rather get $15 million in 1 year, which is guaranteed, you know, that I can get. I'm really curious to see. Now, Houston can kind of make up for that a little bit. You know, they had some good lineups with Luke Mbah-Amute, who was a minimum salary guy last year. You know, maybe they focus on re-signing him. They've got P.J. Tucker, who played a lot of four for them. But, you know, they could go the more traditional route and move him back to three. I have a feeling that Daryl Morey probably has some sort of a cost-effective replacement option in mind that we just haven't seen yet. But, yeah, I mean, Phoenix just kind of came in and laid a heavy offer on him. And, I mean, again, that it's going to sting. And, you know, that's something the Rockets are going to have to recover from because Ariza was pretty important to them last season.
All right, I'm going to get back to Oklahoma City in a second because I really want to get your thoughts on some of the rumors that are flying around out there. First, let me ask you this. Who in the East, is it just Boston? Is Boston the big winner? Is Toronto a winner here now that LeBron's gone and the Cavaliers are obviously no longer a contender? Who's the winner in the East?
Yeah, I mean, it's great news for Toronto, although their time frame doesn't seem like it's very long-lived. Like, that window was closing for them, whereas, you know, Boston and Philly are on their way up. Indiana's kind of a dark horse, and I say that because, I mean, I had a lot of faith in them last season before the season started, and they exceeded my expectations, and you know, they could get even better, I suppose. Milwaukee, Let's see what they can do. I mean, they've got a, you know, top five, top seven NBA player. That's a great place to start. But yeah, I mean, you look and there's a lot of teams that, even though, you know, we can bemoan the lack of star power in the East, at least there are some compelling teams out there. I mean, it's not a bunch of 500 teams scrapping to make the finals. Like, there's some legitimately talented teams that will keep the West looking, or excuse me, the East a little more interesting than I think people are willing to admit.
The Warriors won another title. Kevin Durant's the Finals MVP again. Yet, I don't know about you, John, but I think people dismiss some of the things that were said and some of the body language and some of the crazy things that got said at the parade.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dismiss those things. And I've talked to some people around the league who think, you know, don't be surprised if the Warriors, if this is the last hurrah, if Durant signs a 1+1 and opts out, if Klay Thompson decides to ultimately go his own way, if this thing just kind of slowly fragments a little bit, that basically the Warriors' reign, which has been a dominant one, comes to, at least in terms of being just pure dominant, if that comes to an end soon. Do you hear some of the same things?
I do. There's a lot of steam behind the idea of Kevin Durant moving on to somewhere else after this season. Maybe some of it is the fact that he's not fulfilled or whatever the other 58 reasons he gave for leaving Oklahoma City. But I mean, there's just the thought of that. I mean, and that's sort of like him by nature, right? He's a Maryland kid that went to the University of Texas. You know, he did his time in Seattle and Oklahoma City and then moved on to, you know, to the Bay Area. Stands to reason he's going to move on somewhere else. I mean, that's not unlike LeBron James, as we've seen. So I think he's going to move on. I wouldn't be shocked if it's next summer. And again, because next summer is just going to be so flush with cash across the league. You know, the NBA will be his buffet if he decides to go somewhere else. And look, the East is going to be ripe for taking if there's an opportunity out there, and, you know, might get him closer back to his roots. But yeah, and then you got to think about all those deep playoff runs the Warriors went through. I think that's exhausting. I think at a certain point, playing rookie mode on the video game gets a little boring. maybe you want a little bit of a challenge in your life, for once. So yeah, I mean, I never really thought when Durant went there that, like, they were going to win 8 titles. I didn't see it. And some of the fractures you're seeing, I think, are real. I think they are very real.
Yeah, I think he's leaving after next season, whether they win or not. And I think Klay might too. I think Klay's the one that, if you're LA and you truly can take the long play, Klay Thompson playing with LeBron James would be scary for teams having to defend him. Klay would get, I mean, he gets a lot of open shots now. He might be unstoppable. And I think he's the guy that I sometimes sense that he feels like, hey, I don't get some of the credit that I deserve here. I get overshadowed by 2 and sometimes 3 people. And
his dad is on the media team.
Yeah.
For the Lakers.
Yeah, his dad's a former Laker. He's doing the broadcast. Yep. Yeah, there's some tea leaves there. Okay, we started with Oklahoma City. We'll finish there. I know that they went out and signed, as we tape this, Nerlens Noel to a relatively risk-free 2-year deal. They met with Tyreke Evans. I've heard different things about Evans and his desire to play in Oklahoma City. Specifically, I've heard that he's interested. And then there's the rumors involving Kevin Love and Carmelo Anthony, and whether obviously Carmelo doesn't want to stay. I don't think the Thunder wants him to stay. What do you expect ultimately with Carmelo in terms of his relationship with the Thunder? And then, as someone who understands the salary cap as well as any human I know, what are the ramifications for if the Thunder were to move Carmelo Anthony? What would another team, in this case Cleveland, acquired him and bought him out? How does that work for the layman that's out there saying, I don't really understand? Because I hear it all the time and I don't understand.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about Carmelo, understand he still has his no trade clause. So he's got a lot of power over this situation. The Thunder can't just salary dump him somewhere. They have to sell him on it. And so I've talked a lot about this, and I've seen the most likely scenarios with Melo is one, a trade, you know, getting with him, either shipping him to a place that wants him or shipping him to a place that would buy him out and put him back on the free agent market. And that would allow Oklahoma City to recoup something for him. Second most likely option I felt like is he comes to training camp. That may not be, you know, what he wants right now. It may not be what he wants in September. But, you know, the Thunder can say, hey, you know, show up or you don't get paid. You know, they can hold some power over that themselves, too. And then I felt like Oklahoma City buying him out was sort of a distant option. I think it's more reasonable now that we know that, you know, there's at least a 3-year timeline here. But I just don't think Sam Presti would just cut him loose to play for someone else. As the way he's usually operated with assets, he doesn't like to just pay people to go away. So, you know, if another team traded for him, you know, let's say that they, I don't know, if you moved him to, you know, Cleveland or Atlanta or wherever, that team, you know, it would probably be a trade under the condition of we're going to buy you out, put you back on the market. And the other team's motivation would be to get out from under, you know, a long-term salary or maybe pick up an asset in exchange for doing it. That usually happens all the time. So that feels more likely. And again, everything is pretty active right now. And I'm just sitting here waiting for alerts to come in because, you know, the next one might be, you never know when it might be significant.
Let's play this one game, one level out. Let's say Carmelo Anthony's traded to Cleveland under the understanding that as soon as the Cavaliers get him, they're going to buy him out, free him up to go play in maybe L.A. where he could go sign for the minimum, correct?
People are already linking him there, and it's understandable. It's Los Angeles. His buddy is now there. So, you know, there's some dots there if you want to connect them.
Or he could go to Miami and play for the minimum, play with his buddy D-Wade.
Or Houston.
Yeah, or Houston. Yeah, any of the above. So let's say it's one of those, and the Thunder were to get Kevin Love. I'm sure the Thunder would have to give up an asset. They have a couple of young assets in Terrence Ferguson, Alex Abrines, that I would think Cleveland would have, at least have a passing interest in, depending on what they could get elsewhere. If Kevin Love joined this team with Russell Westbrook and Paul George and, at least for now, Steven Adams and Jeremy Grant, Patrick Patterson, those kind of things, I know they're not as good as the Warriors by any stretch, probably not quite as good as Houston. How good would that team be just looking at them on paper going into the season?
I mean, you know, the truth, Neil, is, and this kind of gets lost, the team was good with Melo on the floor. I mean, the bench was spotty, and that was, you know, Billy would run all bench lineups that usually got slaughtered. But, like, the lineups with Carmelo Anthony were good. Now, Melo fell off a cliff after the All-Star break and reached the point to where he was unplayable at times. And so that's what people tend to remember. But, you know, there was a stretch where he was playing well. So now, if you take that idea and if you put a guy in his place like Kevin Love that maybe does hit those catch-and-shoot shots that Melo was prone to missing, you know, that if teams are going to target him defensively, it's not quite a disaster. You know, yeah, I mean, I think that is definitely an upgrade. And that's not to say that Melo was useless here or anything like that. It's just it turned out to be an awkward fit. And one that just never really came together, and, you know, Melo couldn't stand being benched when he was getting exposed. So I think Love would fix a lot of that. Obviously, there's the UCLA connection with Russell Westbrook. And, you know, a guy that could open up the floor from the four spot, driving lanes for Russ and PG, give Adams room to operate, and a guy that can move the ball within an offense. You know, that's everything Oklahoma City's been hoping for the past several years, dating back to Serge Ibaka becoming a three-point shooter. I mean, that's something they've been wanting for years.
Well, John, I know I kept you longer than I said I would, and you're right. There's no telling. The alert might pop off in any minute, and you'll be back on back on the podcast, back on the radio. So thanks so much for your time. I look forward to talking to you soon. Hope you and your family have a great fourth.
Same to you, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks to John for joining us on the podcast today, a podcast that is brought to you by Community Mortgage. It's located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All of the underwriting and the processing is done in Memphis, so you know you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Make sure you ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate But if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. Get in touch with Jason at JLO, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency, works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different than other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, the production, the editing is done solely by their staff and crafted uniquely for their clients. Lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, so give them a call and see how great they are. It's Austin at strategicpartnersmedia.com. Podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi, Mississippi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. A popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail. And sometimes that's called blackfish. So get in touch with John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call him 228-348-7817. The podcast is also brought to you by LB's Meat Market. And you'll hear from Greg Jones of LB's Meat Market now as we preview the 4th of July. Maybe you're doing some smoking, putting some ribs, brisket, pulled pork, tri-tip, some of that stuff on your smoker. Greg's got tips for you here on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Take a listen. Greg, welcome back into the show. Always good to have you. Before we start talking about food and grilling and smoking and such, how much have you been enjoying the World Cup? I know you're a big soccer guy.
Oh, man, it's been awesome. Just got done watching that Japan-Belgium game, and just what a match. I mean, it's just good stuff. I hate that the America's not in it, and, you know, it just is what it is. But it's something that you definitely have to watch right now because it's only 4 years. It's kind of like the Ryder Cup. It's, you know, all eyes are on it when it is on the TV.
We're taping this on Monday. I watched Brazil earlier in the day. Can anyone beat them?
It seems like they have an extra player on the pitch at all times. Like, you know, you look at them, you're like, they're not playing with 11 people. There's an extra guy floating around, you know. They're always quick to the ball. They're real smart. They stay compact. And, you know, when you have a sub like Firmino come on in the 80th minute, I mean, he's a world-class striker. I mean, that, and then, you know, Neymar doing his dancing and rolling around, you know. I mean, it's just like, that's the attention he's going to get just because of whenever he has the ball. You know, he creates the tension. So, but just, you know, they have just too much fire. Coutinho, and then Jesus. It's just, yeah, they're just a good club, and they're just well-drilled, and, you know, they're in always the right spots. But, yeah, they're going to be tough to beat. I think if France can get through to them, I mean, you know, France, Belgium, and Brazil on that left side is just ridiculous. And then, you know, you got the right side with England. You know, if they can get by Colombia, they have to play Switzerland or Sweden. And then Russia beating Spain, you know, that's a huge upset. So it's pretty much wide open right now.
As a lifelong Spurs fan, I've really enjoyed England's run, Harry Kane and all of those guys.
He sure can find the net, can he?
He can find the net. You know, it's funny. I've been cheering for them all of my soccer life, and so it's just fun to see. It's fun.
Yeah,
to,
I mean, you know, growing
it's been a whole week.
Going down White Hart Lane. It's like a time to be alive right now, especially with Harry Kane.
It really is. I will say this before we turn to food. I did think earlier when Neymar suffered that severe ankle injury and then came back seconds later sprinting up and down the field, I said, that is what athleticism is all about. I mean,
Oh, man. You know, it's almost the only thing I can think of that you can compare it to is, you know, LeBron with the broken hand and then him carrying both suitcases out of LAX airport to sign that $154 million contract. That's the only thing I can think of. You know, it's just
fast healers.
They'll get sniped. I mean, literally, like, they'll get sniped, and it's like the end of the world. And the next thing you know, they look up in the corner of the eye, and they've continued play, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, we got a chance." You know, I got to get up. You know, it's just like, oh. But yeah, that is you. I do believe you have to have a couple minutes of acting in your childhood before you need to be a soccer player.
All right, let's talk some 4th of July food. First of all, when I say 4th of July to you, what does that mean from a food standpoint? Is it burgers and dogs, or is it something more extravagant?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly like, you know, it's everybody on gathered at a particular place, and you've got, you know, a smoker going on with some butts and some maybe some brisket, and then you've got, you know, just your basic grill with, you know, just quick firing hot dogs and quick firing hamburgers. So, it's just, you know, kind of like a gathering situation to where everybody huddles around the grill, and, you know, you got, you know, a slip and slide or a jump box or something like that. You know, it's just the 4th of July is a gathering of people that, and, you know, and it's just a bunch of stuff to where you can put on the smoker and basic stuff like hamburgers and hot dogs, like you were saying.
All right, let's talk about, I think most everybody can handle the basic stuff. A lot of people get in trouble when they start getting into things that they don't do year-round. So we'll start with this. We'll start with ribs, which is a pretty big 4th of July staple. When you're putting ribs on your smoker, what type of ribs do you prefer? And then how do you, what's your general tips on how to prepare them to where they're edible? And not only that, but they're good.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got a couple options on ribs. A lot of people can do the options are baby back ribs and St. Louis style ribs. And there's also a spare rib, which what we do is we get the spare rib in, and then there's a top part of the spare rib that you trim down and you make rib tips out of. So basically, they're basically just like real meaty, not a lot of bones, but real meaty, meaty tips. And then, so we prefer doing the St. Louis route because you get more meat and a bigger bone. The baby back ribs are just a smaller bone. It's a little bit more smaller rack, what we prefer. With that being said, it's real easy as far as if you want to go on the smoker. Just make sure you have your temperature correct. I mean, if you have your smoker going, you always have it to where 250 degrees is, or 200 degrees or however long you want to have them ready. I have a couple people that, you know, say, hey, you know, we want to have ribs, but we don't want to cook them for 6, 7, 8 hours. Well, just double wrap them and put them in tinfoil and put them in the oven and put it at like 250 degrees and they'll be ready in like an hour. Check them after an hour and they, you know, they should be really good and ready to where you can just finish them off on the grill and just grill them on each side. So there's a lot of options as far as cooking ribs and that sort of thing. So you got to find your niche. But if you have time, a lot of indirect heat on the smoker is always your best bet, you know, because you get a real smoky rib because that smoke that is being at a temperature at 250 degrees at a consistent basis is smoking that rib. So, you know, there's just, like I said, two different types of ribs. There's a smoky rib and there's like an oven safe rib.
Say you're doing you're doing them on the smoker. What's your rub of choice? What are some of the basic ingredients that you want to make sure you have in your rub?
Our house seasoning is a low salt paprika based rub, so it's just very low end on the salt, garlic salt. We do pepper, we do garlic salt, and then just paprika and just a small bit of cayenne just to give it a little bite. We've smoked some ribs before with black pepper and finished off with Hoover sauce. Excellent rib. It's kind of like a teriyaki rib. So you don't. There's a lot of different options you can go with ribs. But with the house seasoning is kind of a barbecue rub. But the Hoover is really something different because it's kind of got that soy base, kind of a teriyaki flavor to it. So. I like the Hoover, but you can also just do the house rub with just some good Sweet Baby Ray's or whatever barbecue sauce you prefer.
All right, let's talk about briskets. You mentioned briskets, you mentioned butts. We'll start with briskets. You're trying to put one of those on as someone who, before my big green egg broke, as someone who likes to do those, I can tell you that it's a laborious process. You've got to be it's low and slow, and you have to really take your time, and you've got to let it kind of get through that. It's going to kind of hit a wall at about 180 degrees internal, and you've just got to be patient and let it work through that. But it can be a very rewarding piece of meat to cook, but it can also be challenging. What are the tips you have?
Yeah. Well, I have cooking instructions I've always endured on brisket is we do it for 12 hours at 200 degrees for and we do the whole temperature right at 150 degrees. So whenever you don't have the time and everything, like that's your first thing you need to have as far as if you're going to cook a brisket is go ahead and jot down the time you need to put on there to where you're going to pull it off and serve it. So if you're going to have, say, for example, the party is going to be at like 6 o'clock on a Saturday night, just go ahead and prep your brisket 24 hours in advance. And just have it ready, already seasoned, marinated, and then literally set an alarm for 5 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead and set your temperature on your smoker and just set it on there and just let it go. And then just and check it every 4 hours and just, you know, make sure it's okay. Make sure your temperature is being on a consistent basis on a cooking wise. So it's tough because, you know, whenever you're trying to cook a brisket like that, you want to go low and slow, and it's just whenever you're trying to get done with it and you know, like, all right, you can't just rush a brisket because it is a particular it has a particular texture of meat, so that's why you have to go low and slow. But a lot of people that, you know, when they're cooking brisket, they want that flat piece. So a whole brisket is actually a big pack of brisket. It's almost like, I mean, I would say close to like 13 to 14 pounds. So what we do is we trim the head piece off and then smoke that flat piece, which the flat piece is the most consistent to where you see the briskets that you see that have like the big red meat and then has that fat, almost looks like a New York strip in a way, kind of like it looks like that. That's the flat piece of the brisket. So that's the most popular piece as far as smoking the brisket. And we have those and we trim them back and they're, and they get trimmed back to like, I'd say the biggest one is like 6 pounds. And that way it doesn't take so long for you to cook. So if you're trying to cook a whole pack of brisket, it's going to take you a good, you know, 12, 13, 14 hours. But if you're just trying to smoke that little flat 4 or 5 pound piece, it's not going to take you as long as normal, but it's always good to plan ahead on stuff like that because you don't want to be trying to fry something up, you know, because it's not done and everybody's ready to eat.
What about a Boston butt? A lot of people do pulled pork on the 4th. It's awesome. If
it's easy too.
It's easy.
That's another. Pulled pork is basically kind of like the brisket, but you know, your main objective is to try to grab that bone and just pull it out. If it is a hard effort to pull that bone out, it's not ready. So your basic thing to do on butts is just wrap them up in tinfoil. That way the moisture of the butt and everything is smoking in all and all the juices stay within, because if you have a controlled setting like in your smoker to where you know for sure it's going to be 225 degrees no matter what, then you can do that, you know. So then that way you open up that tinfoil and that butt is just, you know, done, ready to go, and all you got to do is grab it with your hands and just pull it off. So butts are just low and slow, just like briskets.
I was in, where was I? Cincinnati. And, I went to, a place called Taft's.
I think I saw that tweet.
Yeah. They had this tri-tip roast, tri-tip steak, I guess, that they'd sliced super thin. And, it's been on my list of things to call you about. I know that
I just got done trimming up a bunch of those. So
you're the only guy in Oxford that has them. I know that. So tell me about tell me about those, because as soon as I get my smoker fixed, I'm coming to see you. I know you can do them in the oven, and I might do that. I think they're probably better on a smoker.
So, if you whenever you go on Instagram and you can search hashtags, if you search the hashtag picanha, there's a very popular beef cut in Brazil. So basically what it is, it's the top butt of a sirloin. So it's a real lean piece of meat. So there's not a lot of, the picanha actually has the fat on. The culotte is actually the fat off. So same piece of meat, two different names for the thing. And then there's also the, what you were talking about is the tri-tip, which tri-tip is not on the sirloin. It's very similar to the culotte. It's a real lean piece of meat. It's like, it's very popular for fajitas. It's kind of stringy style. You know, it's like fajita meat, to where, you know, like roast beef, if you put it in a crock pot and you pull, you know, get the tongs to pull to check on it, and it just kind of stringy out like roast beef. It's very, very similar to that cut. But yeah, tri-tip is awesome. It's a California cut that's very popular there, and it's just, you know, people just realize that, you know, that you can do something with it, and it's a really good popular cut. I recommend it. That the tri-tip, the picanha, and the culotte are the three real popular cuts that I recommend right now. Just because the picanha, if you want the little fatty, you know, it has that fat cap on it. But if you don't like the fat, you can just use that culotte and just literally sear it on each side and get to your temperature right, and then slice it. And then the tri-tip the same way. It's a real lean piece of meat, doesn't have a lot of fat, and you can literally smoke it, slice it, put it on sandwiches, put it on tacos or anything like that. But, those are real popular cuts right now.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was one of the best sandwiches I've ever had. It was so good.
So did they just smoke it and then slice it, like,
yeah,
slice to order?
Yeah.
Okay, was it on the, did they slice it on a deli slicer or by hand?
It was super thin, so it had to have been a deli slicer.
So yeah,
slicer.
It definitely had to have been on the deli slicer. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was. It had to have been either that, or it was one talent, someone who is extremely talented.
Yeah, super good with a knife.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It had au jus. It was some pickled onions. It was on a ciabatta roll kind of thing. It was so good. Yeah, it was. I didn't want it to end. it was so good. All right. So, a lot of people, obviously, getting started. Is it too late? People are going to hear this on Tuesday morning. Is it too late to come to LB's and get food?
No, I mean, we made a lot of sausages. We made a new sausage the other day. It's called the Blue Dream sausage. So I don't know if you're you remember the Harvest apple sausage?
Yes.
The brown sugar, and so it's basically the exact same thing, but we use Delta cane syrup and fresh local blueberries, and it's really, really good. Whenever people read what all is on, you know, they're like, blueberries and pork, you know, it's just like a kind of a head scratcher, but it's really good. It's a really unique sausage. But we've got, you know, a lot of ribeye sausage, a lot of chicken spinach feta sausage. Just got done doing a bunch of stuffed pork chops. We've got grill packs are on sale for $15. We've got a ton of grill packs. We've got a bunch of stuff in the freezer that's $2 off. So all the sausage that we make, we turn around and we freeze it after the fifth day, and we put it in two packs and three packs and take $2 off. We have a lot of out-of-town customers that like to, you know, come in and get their LB's product whenever they leave Oxford to take back home. So it's a good deal to where you can go in and, you know, take advantage of that, to where you can get the fresh product, but it's frozen, and you know you're going to go home and put it in the freezer anyway and thaw it out whenever you can. So yeah, we've got filet burgers, smoky bacon burgers, just a lot of fresh ground beef. We got a lot of different options.
Tell me about the smoky bacon burger.
So it's a double smoked bacon that we grind up with the Wagyu eye of the round. So it's basically kind of like a bacon burger, and If you don't like bacon, I don't recommend it. We also have the filet burger, but the smoky bacon burger is one of my favorites, just because I like bacon, but sometimes the bacon that I put on the burger, you know, slides off or something like that, or, you know, it's not every bite has bacon on it. So this basically burger has nothing but bacon all the time.
Oh, that's fantastic. You still got
the jalapeno poppers? We do the patty melt for the food truck. We do the smoky bacon burger, Rotel cheese, and some mozzarella cheese, and some comeback sauce on Texas toast. So, yeah, it's the patty melt on the food truck is to die for also.
Well, Greg, as always, I guess real quick, tell people how to get in touch with you. I know the store is right there. On University Avenue across from Kroger. It's fantastic. Go in, tell Greg, grab a six pack. You can make it six of one or six of all different ones if you want to try one. Tell Greg you heard about it here on the Beer Garden. It's just $6. It's a savings of $3 right there. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
You know, just call the store. If there's an order you're looking for, like say I need 10 steaks or 8 steaks. I mean, that helps out with my inventory because I'm not a big store and I can't, you know, keep just a multitude of stock in. So it helps me out on knowing, you know, if you want 10 steaks, I'll, you know, give you a discount. And, but yeah, 662-259-2999. You can email us at lbsmeatmarketoxford@gmail.com. I'll try to take care of any sort of order I can. If I can get a heads up of tour time, it's not a problem. I can get you taken care of.
Well, as always, my man, great talking to you. If you end up heading up to Chicago for the Tigers Cubs series, have a great time, safe travels, and
I will.
I look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. Y'all have a good 4th, and y'all stay safe out there.
Happy 4th to you too. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Thanks to Greg for joining us today. Both he and John Hamm kind enough to join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Really appreciate having them both with us here on this holiday week. I hope all of you out there have a great 4th of July. Stay safe. Be careful with the fireworks. Have a great time. Don't drink and drive. All of those things. Until sometime, probably in 2 weeks, I'll be out next week. We'll get back with you with the Beer Garden. In a couple weeks. There's a chance that we bring one to you later this week before the weekend. I don't want to overcommit to it. So in case I don't, have a great 4th, have a great weekend, and we'll be back soon with another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Until then, take care.